Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was
worried. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
I won't fear.
I won't fear.
I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. My cup overflowing. Jesus right there. He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is refreshing.
Thank you, Lord. Restores my soul.
Restores my
with confidence.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not alone. I pray that I'll be able to get a better copy of that music to play as our opening song to remind us of the Good Shepherd. I think my phone is cracked, but I hope that you can hear me clearly. We certainly can't always dictate what will happen when we're online and using other devices and things, but I thank God that we're able to connect. Excuse me. I appreciate you this morning joining me in our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Words from the Word. I wrote works from the Word, but we'll have to change that. Word from the Word. And we have started to see sheep, goats, and wolves by Mark T. Barclay. So we are grateful that God has given us an opportunity for a rather different perspective of this book, but one in line with the heart of the author. We looked at the opening expectations and desire of the author with some very powerful scriptures, and each week we'll read a group of them because they help us walk through this book in the scriptures. Okay? And that's how chapter one is nothing but scriptures. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalms 14 and 1. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And 20. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. So that's the first section of scriptures that we want to have the, and in these scriptures, they lead us down a path, and the path led to some instructions for the different gifts. So we were looking at the sheep, goats, and wolves through the perspective of gifts and positions within the body of Christ. We found it interesting that it flows in towards the hybrid understanding of the hybrid anointing that's in individuals. Here we're talking about teachers. They're talking about pastors. They're talking about evangelists. They're always talking about the Word of God and the preacher. Preach the Word in season and out. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, giving full instructions of the character and the element that should be involved, we do. And when we look at those elements and those functions and those characteristics, we can also see how they line up with certain gifts and anointings. But as the author is giving us insight to the heart of each one of these elements in the flock, in the body of Christ, so that we would be in harmony with the understanding of heaven. So as it shares with us, the scripture will help. It will give us the treasures we need for the doctrine to follow the righteousness of Christ. There are instructions that need to happen. There are ways that we need to be reproved from so that we will turn from them, instructed so that we will understand that the perfection comes through the Word of God, and it is thoroughly furnished. It's given to us. This perfection is given to us for the good, for the good of the body, not so that we would know it and lord it over anybody, but so that when we preach right. When we evangelist, we evangelist right. When we sit as sheep, we listen right. And teachers, we teach right. And all of these things will then cause us to endure in the fruit of the Spirit that character that we are to display unto the world. So I appreciate him putting these scriptures to give us a focus in our reading. Before you read a section, pick up with the scriptures that we have not gone through, and ask the Lord to show you how this how the scriptures will give insight and revelation to what you read. So often what we read, we've seen it before, so we kind of skim over it, not really looking at details or allowing any level of meditative revelation to come to us because we think we already know it. And so this helps us to focus in the things that God wants to reveal to us through wherever he has led us. And he has led us to this book, and we are going according to his will as we go through it. Stop me at any time and interject what he has told you. Your input is important, and we want to be able to have conversations about the things we're reading. We kind of went over chapter 2 last week, the fact that not all Christians are the same. But notice here, it calls them Christians. Each believer should be serving God in his own capacity according to the measure that has been given him. Also, we have to remember there are different degrees in which believers serve, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. So there is telling us, don't compare to one another, but go inside of yourself where Holy Spirit abides and inquire of him what God requires of you. We will see that we will learn better when we're not looking at and comparing size, colors, and shapes. We live in different climates and conditions and our different environments, different atmosphere, and so we must receive the doctrine and the power of the Word of God that will enable us to walk correctly, enable us to exercise the instrument of righteousness. So as we look at kingdom versus church and broadening our understanding with a God's eye view, we have to take a look at the shepherd. One of the reasons I enjoy that song so much, it is a walk through the 23rd Psalm. We're better placed to look at the life of a shepherd as well as understand the need of the sheep than in the Word of God, the 23rd Psalm. And we know that song. I wanted to read it out of the Gen Z Bible. I'm trying to get it right now. Out of the Gen Z Bible, the 23rd Psalm, because it is a psalm that we know and we've read, we memorized. Some of us memorized it. Isn't it interesting how it was really very simple for us to, and effortless, really, to memorize an entire, I'm pulling out every book, well, the book I'm in need of, but how we were able to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And it's not that it's a small writing, but the things that we can do, the things that we should do, we really can do effortlessly. I don't believe every book is down here, but the one I want. Okay. Okay, the 23rd Psalm. I didn't want to read it. It's kind of another version, a unique version. I don't like it. Is this the book? No. Okay. Overseer just has a difficulty locating a book, but got it. All right. When we look at the 23rd Psalm, and I'm reading it out of the version of the Bible. Okay. Here we go. The Lord is my main influencer. I'm all good, not wanting for anything. He's got me chilling in lush fields, leads me to the thickest chill spot by clear, calm waters, refreshes my soul, guides me down the lit path representing his name. Even when I am walking through the dark vibes, I fear no bad news, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me right in front of my haters. You hook me up, crown my head with blessings, my cup spilling over. Surely, goodness and love will follow me every day of my life, and I will be chilling in the house of the Lord like ever. So, 23rd Psalm, the 6 verses done in this generation's language. And yet, displaying or conveying the same thing that it does in the King James, in the New Living, the Message, the Voice, the Passion, all pointing to the work of the shepherd, giving us an understanding of the work of a shepherd so that we can appreciate the ones that have that watch over our soul. And what does that watching look like? The good shepherd never runs when the wolves come, but he fights for his sheep. The shepherd, the pastor, having a heart set in before us by God, God's heart. And what does a shepherd do? If you look at the life of a shepherd, looking at the 23rd Psalm through the lens of a shepherd, it's a book that we became acquainted with, introduced to, that I recommend for any and everybody. Pastors, so that they will understand, and sheep, so that they will get a clue. Because so often we don't understand the other side of the fence. The author is going to the pastors because they were also, at some point, they were sheep. He makes a statement that no pastor was born a pastor. And I'm not quite sure that I agree with that, because I believe that that which we are to be, God puts in us. And as we grow, those character traits are perfected and matured as we navigate in our Christian journey. And so we see that this position of the pastor is not only an important position, it is a very laborsome position. And as we read in the book of the 23rd Psalms, a look at a shepherd through the 23rd Psalms, we realize all of the work that the pastor has to do for the sheep, and mainly because of the nature of the sheep. But the pastor has to go through the journey he wants to take the sheep. He has to go through first. He has to find out all the pitfalls and the bad places and the good places along the path from the valley to the top of the mountain where he's trying to get the sheep, because that's where the best feeding ground is. But it is also dangerous, and it is treacherous to get there with sheep having the nature that they do. And they're very frightened. They're not conscientious of their surroundings and their environment. They don't understand what's best for them. In the book, I thought it was interesting how the shepherd's part of his duty is to keep the flock moving, because if he doesn't, the flock will stay there and eat the grass to beyond the root, and it would kill the land, and there would never be any place to graze at anymore, because the sheep will have eaten the root of everything. So it is the job of the shepherd to keep the sheep moving, keep the sheep from becoming stagnant, because if they don't move, then they're going to excrete right where they are, and they're doing that on the food that they're eating. They're going to contaminate their insides as well as clutter their outsides because they have wool. It's the only place you can get wool from. And so this commodity, if you will, or this product that comes from the sheep is necessary to clothe the world. And I thought that was very, very interesting. That's all sheep, they clothe the world. Now, we look at sheep as also being so scary that if the water moves, they will be too afraid of it, and they would literally stand or lay next to a stream of moving water and die of thirst because they would be afraid to drink. Now, what the shepherd has to do is to get the water to come to where they are in a calm state, and they know how to dig a trench and let the water drain off. That is a puddle in one place. It won't be moving. And there were even instances, obviously, in the time of scripture where the water was underground. Well, they were afraid of the darkness. They wouldn't go down. So the shepherd would have to go down and get the water and bring it back to feed, to give to the sheep, or they would die of thirst. One of the things that would happen when sheep are grazing and on their journey is their wool would get tangled up with stuff from the ground, the briars and thistles and dead grass and bugs and that sort of thing. And if they get too downtrodden with it, they fall over and they can't right themselves, and then they suffocate. So they need someone almost watching them and tending and caring for them every moment of the day. And that is the life of a pastor. Every moment, every aspect of the sheep's life, the pastor is responsible for. Now, a sheep not knowing all the things that they should do, only relying on what the shepherd has told them, but only after the shepherd has built this rapport with the sheep. The word says, my sheep, they know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. There has to be this learning time where the voice of the pastor is what the sheep hear and come to trust for their spiritual growth and development, for their correction, for their reproof, for their exhortation. They have to hear that voice. To hear many voices is a problem. And Alka goes through that because of some of those other voices. They call them hirelings. They know what a shepherd is to do, but they're doing it for the money, not for the owner of the sheep. A good shepherd is doing it because the owner of the sheep, God, has given them a heart to pastor these people, and they belong to God, and the pastor understands the importance of the sheep to God. So the pastor has to have a God's eye view of us, because he could look at us as we are, and there doesn't seem to be much that is to be desired. Scary, they don't know what to do, they never know what to do, they wander off, they get dirty, they need medical attention all the time, tedious hands-on attention. They need to be guided, they need to be prod, they need to be encouraged and pushed along the way. They have so many needs. They have to be anointed. They have to get the parasites from living in the wool of the sheep. They anoint their head with oil so that this will form a coating to have the parasite, nothing the parasite can leech onto. And that's that anointing of the Holy Spirit. They have to get that in their constant walk. It has to be, actually has to be massaged on or smeared on, just as we smear with holy oil. And it's just representative of a more intense process to keep the things, the parasites of the world, from latching on to our emotions and to our heart and to our wounds even. So they're covered with this oil to protect us. The sheep can't do it for themselves. It has to be the shepherd. The shepherd is responsible for shearing the sheep. In other words, trimming the wool from the sheep. Because trimming the wool from the sheep is also what is of value to the owner of the sheep. There is a scripture they share with us, and unfortunately I sat down and I read the whole book, so I'm probably going back and forth in some of the chapters. But what they ended up doing when they sheared the sheep, the scripture says the sheep bring the clothes, but the goat brings the milk. And the milk is what is used to, if you will, provide nourishment for the family, okay, for those that are going to be served by the lambs, the sheep. And so we'll talk about the goats, but in knowing that everything has its place and an order, and we just need to understand that order and that place. But going back to the pastor, so you have this pastor who has sheep that are clumsy. They're very clumsy. They're like top heavy. So when you're trying to go up a mountain, hind feet in high places is not a sheep, okay? And so in a lot of cases, even in the 23rd Psalm, it says, because you're near me. You know, it may be that the shepherd has to pick them up, carry them to a place. And that's when we see he leaves the 90 and 9 to go and get the 9. So sometimes as you pick them up and you place them on this plateau, a place that you've already surveyed, you know it's okay, you know it will be safe for them while you run and get the other one and you bring him up. But it's a very personal interaction that this pastor has. And I know when I read the book, I got exhausted for the pastor. It's like, my goodness. You know, so God forbid, you know, a lot of people say, you know, that's what they want, mega churches and, you know, 5,000 members. If you have 5,000 sheep, okay, you have to give them the same intense interaction that you would do for 100 or for 10 or for 1. Because they're in need of a pastor that has the heart of God for them, that knows all of their weaknesses and knows all of their downfalls, know all of, if you will, the ugly side of them, and loves them and has committed themselves in a covenant agreement with them. And that's what the pastor do. So when you see that pastor, he is the highest, actually, authority, well, for the sheep. He is the provision. He is the behavior specialist, because the pastor has to understand the sheep. Because God is created the sheep, created humanity. Therefore, he is the highest authority on the provision, study, and behavior of humanity. And if he puts his heart in a man and call them a pastor, then that person becomes keen and wise to the details and elements of people. They become people experts. And everybody is one, even those that are people pleasers, those that are, you know, I'm a people person. That doesn't make you a people expert, because more than being a people person, generally is someone that gets along with everybody. But this is someone that understands where everybody is, and they meet them there to meet the need that God has to bring them to perfection. I thought it was very interesting. The author uses the example of someone that has a severe, heart problem. They go to see a heart specialist for advice, medication, or even surgeries. You wouldn't dream of allowing your best friend to work on your heart with his pocket knife. Even if he read 2 books and listened to several tapes on the subject, or even if he graduated from a 9-month cram program, it's your only heart, and you want to live, so you want a specialist, an expert. He shares the fact that he buys his insurance from an insurance salesperson, someone that's familiar with it, someone that's licensed, well-trained, and highly experienced professionals, things that he needs. And so often we are used to, they used to call them jackleg or backyard mechanics, or, you know, jack of many trades and master of none. You know, people that know a little this, a little that, because they read a book, took a class, saw a program, have best friends of a doctor, and they think they know, and yet they're not a pastor. They are not the specialist that you need to develop your spiritual growth. And when it comes to the pastor of a church, it's for some people, they feel, I can do that. Or that's their attitude. I can tell you, you don't need the pastor to tell you. We need the pastor because the pastor has the heart of God, and nobody else has it for the sheep. Nobody. So everything else that is around, and everyone else that are around the sheep, do not have God's heart for the sheep. Now, they may have a God assignment for the sheep. They may have a God anointing that the sheep will need. But that's because, just like with the specialist, he'll send you to the phlebotomist to get a drug, you know, test your blood, and they'll send it to a tech to take it, you know, and they'll send it to someone else with a microscope to look at it. But the heart doctor gets everything, and then he coordinates the benefits, or coordinates the work that needs to happen for that heart that he is attending to. And that's what the pastor does. And it does take a lot of training. And a lot of times we feel like we've been here, done that. But if we have not been called, then we cannot do it the way God would have us to do. It says, the specialist has obtained the right tools, the right manual, the proper condition, the know-how, the experience, and the part, while the other works under the much lesser condition with cheaper tools and not quite so precise results. Somewhere near you is one of the best experts in your city. But if you don't go and be planted in that flock, then your car will never receive the, what the Bible say, flourish. Your soul will never flourish because it is not receiving the very best, the expert care of the pastor. So there were a couple of that I wanted to just read. It says, if a church family is relating to everyone exactly the same, then they are confused over goats, entertaining wolves, and probably abusing the sheep. This, of course, is also true with our Christian leaders. We must learn to know the difference between sheep, goats, and wolves, and be able to deal with each accordingly. He says, let me illustrate. The body of Christ went through a season of over-attention to the devil. We began to say everything that wasn't godly result in our life was a demon or a spirit. We began to have deliverance services, and demons got more attention than God. And much of the time, people were not getting delivered. They were just being confused about what was going on and their own response inwardly to what was going on. Because if you look at something and you know, okay, I'm supposed to be delivered, but you don't, I won't say you don't feel that way, you don't feel the empowerment of that, then you start thinking, well, it must be me. And that's a defeated attitude. A religious spirit wants to take from you the life, your very hope, all of your strength. It says, now understand, there are demons and there are legitimate deliverance services that, you know, people are delivered by the power of the blood of the Lamb. But at the same time, there are a lot of immature, undeveloped, and untimely things that are going on. Many people who had problems would go to get help. The helpers weren't able most of the time to discern between the flesh and the spirit. Therefore, they were trying to cast out everything. And the author shared the fact that he thinks that we at this point should have learned that you cannot cast out flesh and you cannot discipline spirit. If we have sin in our lives or lust or bad habits, they need to be dealt with. Discipline needs to be applied until we overcome and so on. However, if they are truly demons, it can't be disciplined. It has to be worked out, cast out. You can repent and turn from sin. You can cast out evil spirits. It won't do you any good to cast out that flesh problem of yours or repent of that demon. We must learn to know the difference between sheep, goats, and wolves, and also to recognize hirelings from true shepherds. And so that's how he basically ends the chapter 3 with, and he gives us this, I think, very good visual illustration of what we see happen only too often in the church, because people, they undermine the office of the pastor. And they, well, I could do that, or they shouldn't do it this way, or I don't know why they're doing it that. No, we don't know why. And most times we won't know why, because we haven't been given the heart of God for these people and for this time and for that which they're going through. And all these things are a part of what is needed for the pastor to pastor the sheep. That's where you come into these hybrid anointing, because all of these things are what makes specialists get the information to be available, really, for the pastor to teach, to evangelize, to prophesy, to get to a place where the anointing is released and not limited by the office. And so we have to learn, as the author shared, the difference between the different individuals that we come in contact with in the church and what their task is, and not give them or give more credence or give them a position above the one that they should have. So we have talked almost half an hour. So we open the lines. The lines are open for you to share your insights, your thoughts of the lesson. That's static again. Oh, maybe there we go. Amen. Okay, so comments, questions, in revelation, what you got from reading? Calling myself, giving you time to take your phone off mute and...
Good morning, Overseer.
Well, good morning, Elder. How are you?
But you were giving us time to take our phones off mute. I am fine. I am coffeeless, so that's not a good thing, but I will be taking care of that as soon as this call is over. I thought it was very interesting. As you kind of went through the list of how sheep operate. And, you know, I know we read that book together in one of the prior classes. And, but it's always interesting to me that God would choose sheep. I mean, of all the things, it's just, it's almost like sheep have no redeeming quality minus their wool. And then they got to be sheared to even, you know, make that something profitable outside of themselves. But I mean, all of the things, the scariness, the fact that, you know, I think it's just crazy to lay down next to the running water and die of thirst. That's ridiculous. But when you kind of overlay that on how we behave, or, you know, maybe I should say how I behave, you know, just the whole idea that sheep, the animal of all the animals, not a gazelle, not a giraffe, not a strong elephant, you know, or a cheetah, something that can go really fast, or something that's just like nothing, the sheep, nothing. It is to me, it's kind of mind-boggling. You know, it's just kind of mind-boggling, but it does speak to the providential care of God for his sheep, and, you know, even the sending of his son, you know, to be an example how we can still do it, even as sheep. But just that whole sheep thing, I understand why you put that down as a required reading for pastors. To me, it's like some things, you know, even when you know, I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know that there are certain things that I have read and reread, and you read it again and you get a whole different kind of, or you get an expanded understanding,
yeah,
or you see things differently, things that are nuanced, you know, just slight changes. And like I said, some of the things you were talking about with the sheep, certainly we know that they're scary, and we know that, you know, they get wet, you know, and they'll drown because they won't pick their head up out of the water, you know, those kinds of things. But that it does exemplify a lot of the behavior, I'd say, as carnal Christians. You know, I'm not even thinking goats or wolves or anything like that, but just as carnal Christians, when you don't, it shows the value of a pastor, because if you don't have someone who is looking out for you, it is so easily to get derailed and off the path and lost in a way that has us, you know, in a 40-year experience kind of thing, you know, just going around circles until somebody, you know, kind of lifts you out. And I think that that, to me, that's just a very interesting and a very much needed example or whatever that we need to talk about on a regular, not just when we're looking at books, because sometimes we need to just in the body, you know, make people know that, you know, he is our shepherd and he calls us sheep. You know, look at sheep. Look at that. You know, look at, you know, what that means in the whole scheme of things. But that is really it on, you know, on that. It was just in looking at some of that, and it made me think of some things from a pastoral, you know, not that that's anything prophetic that I'm a pastor, because that ain't where we're going with that, but to be able to look and maybe have a bit more empathy, because I know that my tolerance is short, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, with pastoral decisions and things like that, and just to make me see that if I had to care, when I think of, you know, my pastor always says, that, you know, he'll call out somebody and just say, you know, Deborah, those are Deborah's people over there. She they pastor. You know what I mean? He'll just say that jokingly. But I understand what he means with that. And when you look at something like this, that because certain people follow certain other people, even though we're supposed to be following the man and woman of God as they follow God, you know, but the whole... when I even dare to think of, outside of my 17 people, what if I had the other 200 people? You know, I couldn't even, they would just have to fall off, you know, because the ones that I have, we have a hard time. And, you know, and I say that tongue in cheek when I say the ones that I have.
But,
you know what I mean? Yeah. There are people who have counsel, instruction and things like that, and even in that, it's like, my God. So I can't even really imagine if everybody in the church could just call you on a whim, and, you know, and say whatever. You know, my son is acting up. You know, my mother is getting on my nerves. You know, I'm having a hard time with my spouse. Whatever the case may be, you know, I want to quit my job. I can't even imagine the burden. I guess it has to be that you're made for this. If you are a pastor, God has given you that anointing and grace and the authority to walk in that office, that you have to be made for. But it doesn't mean that the sheep knowingly have to make it worse. So, you know,
they're advised not to. Absolutely. That's a wonderful point of view,
I think it's interesting what Elder Deborah was saying in your the book illustration of the sheep. And because I think it would be helpful if sheep knew what they were. So that's the best way I know how to put it.
We're delusional. I'm the shepherd.
I'm just saying, you wrestle with it, and sheep rise up against you on a regular, you know, in such confrontational matters, you know, and sheep treat you like the sheep as if they're the shepherd. But if they understood what God says about them, the dynamic
right.
of the church would be a lot different. So
amen.
I appreciate it.
Get out of my video.
Yeah, I just
convicted and repented. You know, you are right. You are right. You are right. Absolutely.
You know what, Apostle? I think we're going to find that that's goats. When they bite
No,
back.
I was just going to say, in a minute, them sheep become goats. And then the shepherd really has to humble themselves a lot more so that you just them like, you know what you're good for about right now?
Mm-hmm.
So that added pressure of even thinking in that matter or even just out of tired of sheep biting or nibbling,
mm-hmm.
nibbling, that you mm-hmm. then begin to treat them like wolves. So I just think, as you both have indicated, it is a lesson that should be a part of discipleship classes, new member classes, on a regular, but and not showing everybody where they're at, but just getting a God perspective for who we are and what our assignment is.
Amen. I think that as you guys were talking, I was looking at the cover of this book, and I always want to say, you know, sheep are dumb.
Yes,
and yet I have realized that the sheep are just sheep. That's how they were made, but they show this wolf with some wool on him, and so he's perpetrating to be a sheep, and he knows that he could get away with it with sheep because they're not that brilliant. You know, so the very fact, as the pastor says, if sheep understood their nature, they will understand why the Bible says there's no good thing in us. They none. You know, it's just a bundle of need. That's it. And without someone to navigate that need, we are lost. So it makes us understand, I think, on another level, the commitment of Christ to us, some sheep, some, you know, dumb sheep whose characteristics, that's what drives. They don't think for themselves. They don't move for themselves. They don't even know the want for themselves. They have nothing unless the shepherd pours into them. Which is why it's so easy for these other positional people that's going to be around the flock to influence them because they're just blindly looking for, they not even know what they're looking for. They're running into stuff. So, like I say, they did this picture on this book, you know, and it's like, that look like a sheep to you with them teeth on it like that? You know, look at one another. Does it look like you? You know, and they say, you know how they say if it look like a wolf, it smell like a wolf, it run like a wolf, chances are it is a wolf. Now, he may have your clothes on, but you should know him by his character. And that's what this book is showing us, what the character are in those around us. And how we really establish them because we look to them. You know, I like that way the Elder Deborah shared, you know, her pastor say those are Elder Deborah's, they pastor. And so often apostles say, that's your member. And I go, I don't got none. I am not confused. I don't have any members. Okay. Now, I am a teacher. I'm going to be in the lane. And that's what it said. I'm going to get in my lane, but them are your flock. Okay? And we almost have to to guard the position we're in, because people would put us in a different kind of position. Now, I understand, you know, Apostle Sam, well, you know, you're a counselor, you do this, you do that, you do, okay, all those things, but I am not your pastor. Nope. I'm like Elder Deborah. You know, the phone will ring and ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. I'm just going to ring, you know. But I believe that when you have the heart that God gives the pastor, then you look back and you look at somebody and you go, how did they do that? No way. How did they do that knowing what they know that this person did to them? How did they do that? You know, and that's love. And that's how we learn love. That's how I learn love. I watch the heart of a pastor to sheep, because that's, now that's love. Okay, let them, you know, die thirst, okay, at the water brook. Okay, I keep bringing the water up, and they done wandered off somewhere, and I got to go find them and bring them back. Now, when I bring them back, they're so full of weeds and dirt and stuff, they done fell on their side. They can't right themselves up. Now, I got to get them up, and then I got to take this wool off of them because they done got it all wet and nasty. You know, just one thing after another, and then that wool, you know, has to be, he has to do something with that wool. He don't just shear it and leave it on the ground. He got to collect that stuff. He got to pack it up and put it on, maybe put it on the sheepdog, and have the sheepdog take it back, and the dog come up. But I'm just saying, it is a process that has to happen. And when it does, the pastor, the shepherd, is responsible for it. And those are just too many details for a normal mind, this individual, or a normal gifted individual, because it's the gift of the pastor that puts that kind of mind in a person so that they can do that for the sheep. So I'm going to stop looking at the cover of this, because it's like, now that just don't even look right. Okay. That's like, that's why y'all get ate. And you down there looking at him like you don't know that's a wolf. The moon is full, so he's howling. Now, does that sound like the voice of the shepherd? I ask you. Okay, y'all need to be finding where is the shepherd. I'm enjoying this in that this new insight into offices is being, this new insight into offices is being exposed to me. Anybody else? All right, then. Well, next week we'll be on chapter 4, go into chapter 5 as well. It's really easy to just zip through the book. So I say happy May. The next time we come together, it will be the month of May. And so many things are going on, and we want to just celebrate our graduates and our young people that are coming to the end of a school year. So they're enduring tests and finals and projects and adjustments and preparing for the summer. So let's start praying that they will be engaged. The summer will be a safe spiritual blessing for them. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for joining us on Friday Fellowship of Learners. Have a good one. Obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.